You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday. Oh, yeah. March 27th, 2017. And this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, CTM Baseball. I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, we are now 6 days away. I got the date right now. Okay, it's Sunday,
okay,
so it's easy.
That's six.
6 days away till opening day. We got a full week of prep, and then that's it. It is over, and then it's all time to just see how it all shakes out. We had a fun weekend, a ton of awesome college basketball, a ton of awesome drafting, and we're going to break down everything that happened over the last few days over the next 2 hours. Good morning, Corey.
What's the deal, Greg? I am happy to be here. First and foremost, whoever left the studio yesterday did a poor job of being an adult and cleaning up behind yourself. The studio was in shambles, a disaster. I understand a lot of things, a lot of people was in here this weekend, but you know, have a little pride for what we work so hard for, gentlemen. Anyway, South Carolina and North Carolina in the national championship.
How about that? And that, you know, it was two exciting games.
On TV.
We're back on TV. two really exciting games yesterday.
Yeah.
It was an
amazing.
Amazing Elite Eight in general, yeah. I thought. Sweet 16 was a really good team. It was an awesome weekend of college basketball.
No doubt about it. Of course, like the one everybody was looking forward to, the main
disappoint.
Event. Yep, the granddaddy of them all did not disappoint with North Carolina and Kentucky yesterday. Another great college basketball game played by both sides. North Carolina prevailed in the end, and what was definitely so far the game of the tournament, just two top programs going at it, and it comes down to the final couple seconds.
Good morning, Matty.
I am feeling good. I thought I was exhausted when I first got up this morning after the triathlon weekend, but then I realized that this time next week, Major League Baseball games will have been played, and it'll be the unofficial, official, whatever you want to call it nowadays, opening day. So I'm really stoked. And I think with college basketball, if we rewind to Friday night, that Florida-Wisconsin game was, I got to catch the end.
Oh, that was a goodie, too.
That was off the hook.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome. And I actually just saw Darryl Revelle tweeted from yesterday at Kentucky and UNC at a Kentucky bar, Kentucky losing their minds after the Malik Monk 3, and then just devastation immediately following. But, like, isn't that, honestly, guys, isn't that just, like, sweet revenge for North Carolina? Not that against Kentucky, but having the miraculous 3 and then losing anyway, right? Just like they thought at the NCAA final last year to Nova. It was almost like the same exact thing. It was just an unbelievable game yesterday. I was running around my apartment when nobody else was in, screaming as both shots went in. It was just remarkable.
Yeah, it did not disappoint. I mean, I think the first 2 days we were a little like, eh. And since then, we've
had, picked up.
Yeah, it's really been every weekend. It seems to get better and better. And just when you think it can't get better, it actually does. My question for Corey is,
yo,
is it South Carolina or North Carolina?
It's going to be a battle of the Carolinas.
He's going to make that decision in the finals.
I want both teams obviously to get to the finals, and then when we get to that point, then I'll make a decision. So by Friday, I'll have a decision for you.
Yeah, by Friday, I'll have a decision.
Yeah.
What, the semifinals aren't until Saturday.
I know. I'm not going to be here Saturday.
That's true. Okay. Here's what I.
Oh, that's right. But we'll be here next Monday. I forgot they don't. Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Shining moment.
So here's what I ask: if they are both in the finals,
yes,
on Monday night.
Uh huh.
If they're both in the finals, I would like you to come in the morning on Monday with either one or both hats, and then we'll have a reveal, like you're a recruit.
Okay, yeah.
Like you're a recruit, and then you'll pick the hat at the end of the show, and you'll let us know who you're rooting
for. I'm almost certain this is going to happen. Like, I feel like it's going to be North Carolina versus South Carolina for the national championship. Yeah, it is pretty cool. I don't think it's ever been done.
No, South Carolina never won a game in the tournament.
Yeah, no, that's true, too. But I'm serious. Even with adjacent states, I don't think it's ever been done before.
Well, I have
states
to
states that border each other.
I'm gonna have to go through my map.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you want to take it down.
Geography lesson.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I saw that tweeted though.
Really?
Yeah. So, it was a great weekend. The Gamecocks, they came, they showed up, they took down Madison Square Garden. That was a very good.
Did you go
game.
To the game on Sunday?
No,
I didn't talked about
nah,
that.
Nah, I was
around.
I was at Hilton Hotel, NFBC, taking care of some business over there. So.
Okay.
Yes, that's how that. This it definitely was a great weekend with the college basketball and Tout Wars and Foley's and stuff like that. Good to see everybody. So, I'm happy to be back here this Monday morning as we really are on the final countdown to opening day now.
Absolutely. And now, as we take away from March Madness, which, as Matt said perfectly, like the first 2 days, everyone's like, all right, where are the buzzer beaters? Where are the fantastic games? And then you got it the last. You know, every other day, it's just been insanely, insanely good. I'm very, very excited about this Final Four that everybody predicted with South Carolina, Gonzaga, Oregon. That's what makes it fun. And if if Gonzaga does make it to the finals, people are saying it's the easiest road they've ever seen any team have, any one seed ever have, where you beat a 16 seed, you beat a 16 seed, you beat an 8 seed, a 4 seed, an 11 seed, and now it's potentially a 7 seed to get there. And some of these teams are just like, eh. So we'll see if Gonzaga can do it. In South Carolina, we talked about this last week, Corey, that they gave the first two games in South Carolina,
yep.
Little home field advantage. But here at Madison Square Garden, the lights are the brightest. I know they didn't have to necessarily face a Kansas or a UNC or anything like that, or UCLA, but you face Baylor, at number 3 seed. You face Florida, at number 4 seed. In Madison Square Garden,
and listen,
and nothing.
And those Florida fans, they were out. You know what I mean? They were out. They came. They came. They showed up. They showed out. So. It was definitely not easy for them this weekend, and they played very well, a resilient team, a tough team. They're a real gritty, grinded-out type team. I like their head coach, so shout-out to the Gamecocks. They're making a nice run. I think they've become one of the darlings of the tournament.
I don't think they've been the darlings, yeah. Which is interesting because, you know what, it's hard-nosed basketball. It's playing fantastic defense. It's a team that's been down at halftime almost every game, and they come out in the second half, and they just dominate. They literally pick up the defense. They have the SEC player of the which is crazy because no one knew this guy until this tournament started, Cedarius Thornwell. And now he is the star of the NCAA tournament. Like, if South Carolina winds up winning this thing, he will be the tournament's most outstanding player. I mean, that is how good this guy has been. Suspended midway through this year for a drug offense earlier, you know, last year. And he has stepped up, and Frank Martin, who's out of his mind, he has stepped up in a great way. It's been so much fun to watch, Matt.
Yeah, I'm rooting for South Carolina from here on out. I mean, this is the team that
really hopping on the bandwagon late, Aaron.
Yeah, well, you know, UCLA
here on out.
I'm pulling a LeVar Ball here. UCLA's out, so you know, I'm going to go with the hot team. Talk them up. You know, this is like the story. Like you said, the kid was suspended, came back. You know, it was like a little redemption.
Here. Yep.
A little redemption for South Carolina again.
As a Terp.
Yeah.
Former ACC guy, how you feel? I guess you're on board with South Carolina too.
Yeah, so
you're not rooting for the Tar Heels.
So I was actually thinking about this yesterday. I was watching the game. I was like, I never root for Kentucky because it's like, who wants to root for Kentucky,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I was rooting for Kentucky pretty hard yesterday against North Carolina, and it's funny because I literally said this to myself. I go, I'm going to root for, I'm going to root hard for Kentucky today, and then when they play next Saturday, I'm going to root just as hard against them because I don't want them to win. Like, yeah. I want it. On the left side of that bracket, Gonzaga and South Carolina, I'm good whoever. No matter what happens, I'm going to root for that side of the bracket to overcome. I do not want to see North Carolina win it. No, absolutely not, Corey.
Yeah.
I did a cool pool. Not a cool pool, just a lucky pool, really. 32 people are in the pool, and you get two teams, one from the left side, one from the right side, where basically you just throw in money. A buddy and I did it together, so let's say $50 each, and you just pick the name of a hat. Whichever team you get, that team, and then you put all the names back in, you pick a team for the right side of the hat. And if you advance to the Elite Eight, you make money. If you advance to the Final Four, you make money. Of course, you win the championship, you make money. So we got pretty lucky because you pick any team out of that hat, right? We got Florida and Butler. So
nice.
Florida makes the Elite Eight. We're like, oh, wow. And now they got to play a 7 seed. So I was rooting for Florida yesterday. I was up 8.5. This is second freaking day in a row, or second Sunday in a row, I should say, where my team was up 7 or 8 at 7 at halftime because I had Louisville last week against Michigan. Now I had Florida against South Carolina up a ton of points at halftime. And I'm like, I feel pretty good. And then that quickly feeling turned to agony. That was it.
Well, shout out to the SEC for what they were able to do for the Final Eight. So, I mean, that was pretty damn good.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Matt. Now they're going to start talking about how they're the dominant football conference and the dominant basketball conference. And I can't with the SEC fans. They were in the hotel crazy this weekend, the SEC fans. And I'm just like, it's too much.
Yeah,
they cannot dominate college basketball. Also, they
no,
can't.
No.
They can't.
It can't be a thing that happens.
No.
Rocket Riley. Speaking of dominating, it was
down in here on Friday night.
Friday night was out of control.
Matt, it was going down.
I didn't make it back Friday night, but I was here Saturday and Sunday mornings till like noon.
I'm sure it wasn't as crazy with just that room drafting. But,
no, it was
but Friday night. I thought Corey was going to get flashed from this window. I wish I was, like, joking.
He's not.
No.
It was crazy.
Now, did you meet this fine young lady again? No.
I was like, I kept it pushing. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to get myself. I was, don't start none. It won't be none. But it was, like, a group of Gator fans right here.
Right.
And they were going
Wisconsin
crazy.
Fans over there.
Yeah. So, and everybody that came past the window was like, putting them on the glass, you know what I mean? So I'm like, wow, not bad.
This is what I'm pretty sure.
Because we did shot callers, you know, we filled in for Dane. Was Fantasy Freestyle?
Fantasy Freestyle,
We filled in for Dane, so.
Shot Callers, the final. It was actually the final episode of Shot Callers.
Yeah, the final episode. Yeah, exactly. We closed down Shot Callers. So, and then after us, Joe came in, did a special episode of the Black Book. By the time we got here at 8 o'clock, I was like nervous. And it was 8 o'clock, and at one point, we were on the elevator, you can feel the fifth floor shaking.
Oh, my God, you could, for sure.
You could feel the fifth floor shaking. It was crazy in here. Like I said, it was 8 o'clock.
It was like, wild in here.
The light just started.
Now I understand why the studio was built, honestly.
Yeah.
In this location, with the see-through glass, I mean, it was that wild, Modica. Like, I realize it's like 8 a.m. right now, so no one's here, but it was crazy, dude.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it, but then again, not so sorry.
Okay, you're married. It's okay.
I was auctioning. I was having a damn good time.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, guys, it was obviously a major draft weekend. You were auctioning. You had some big money leagues, of course. I want to hear all about those. I'm sure you said, go Trout and Kershaw as promised?
Yes, I did.
Trout and Kershaw as he promised, because Matt Modica is a man of his word. And we'll see who else he got. We'll see who else went right, what went wrong. I want to hear the surprise picks. I want to hear who you didn't think you were going to get. Now they're on your team, and you're like, shit. I want to know about what went right, what went wrong. Corey, you had a crazy weekend as well. Here at Tout Wars, you did some auctioning as well. So let's get breaking into it. The big draft weekend, the industry weekend, the one weekend a year. Everybody in the industry gets together and do what they do, draft. Let's talk about it here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The weekend is in the books. Tout Wars NFBC Week 1. Of course, Modica heading to Vegas Friday.
Thursday afternoon,
Thursday
actually.
Thursday afternoon.
So,
to get ready for the final draft weekend, because then baseball starts on Sunday. So
woo-hoo.
You'll be there for the Final Four, that means, in Vegas?
Yeah, I guess I will, but I won't be watching any of it. I'll be, you know, I got double drafts. I'm going to be in rooms just auctioning,
jeez,
drafting.
And oh, God, yeah. Yo, this guy goes to Vegas and sits in a room instead of watching the Final Four. Unbelievable. Nah, whatever.
You might visit the sports book, though, right?
Maybe I'll walk over there.
Yeah,
maybe I'll place a wager on the Final Four.
Different story, yeah.
You know. Go Gamecocks, right? Kid, all of a sudden, he just talked about River, South Carolina. Next thing you know, he's got a big a GU hat on, a big Bulldog shirt. That's a true gambling man. All right, Modica, you had the draft over the weekend. Which one do you want to dive into first? Why don't we do whichever one you drafted first?
We'll do Saturdays. That was the first main event draft that I had.
Yes.
Okay.
And with the number one pick, I went Kershaw.
As you promised.
Yeah. I took Kershaw. This was a real interesting draft, of course. Starting pitchers, I mean, as they usually do at this time of year in the NFBC, get pushed up, but it was very aggressive. I mean, I took Kershaw at number one with the expectation at that 4-5 turn of getting, say, Kyle Hendricks. I figured that was a perfect path for me. I was all excited about it. Because on the 2-3 turn, I went all power. I went Nelson Cruz, Giancarlo Stanton.
I like that. I like that turn right
now
there.
You got a power pitcher and power hitter.
Yeah.
So you're feeling good. Things are good.
I'm feeling good.
I noticed. So let me. But I hate to cut you off right there.
Go ahead.
I noticed from your drafts this weekend. I haven't really heard you talk about it like before, but you have Stanton on a couple teams. So what I'm saying is that. If your plan at number at one overall included Stanton, would your plan in the middle of say you had the 7 pick, would Stanton would have been in your plan then?
I would have if I had say the 7th pick. I probably would have went with say a Bryce Harper type, or if one of the third basemen fell, like an Arenado, who's fallen at some points today. I don't know how or why. But
last night in the draft, he fell at 8 to me, Arenado.
So that's because of the WB. I mean, because of the spring.
Yeah,
that's like when we say buying opportunity.
Yeah,
that's what that
is. Yeah, I agree.
But if I would have went Harper or say Aaron Arenado at 1, the second round I would have looked at totally different. I probably. Would have been eyeing, say, a Yu Darvish.
Okay.
Or even the big riser of the weekend who's been flying up boards, a Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Because I like to have that ace, but there were other options of bats in that range. If, like, say, a Joey Votto fell to me, I'd have to consider that.
Okay. So you're cool with Stanton, injury history and all of that. You're like, you know what, whatever.
I didn't want to be as invested in Stanton as I actually became.
Yeah, I see that.
Like, Friday night, just for an example. I had the theory of either Cruz or Nelson, whoever I could get for under 25 if possible, I wanted. So Giancarlo Stanton came up first, and as he was getting bid up, then somebody said 23. I said 24. Nobody said 25. I was totally fine with that. I was, you know, for under $25. I love Giancarlo Stanton.
No doubt.
I think that's, you know, that's a bet I'm willing to place.
Even with his injury stint, he'll bring you back $25 worth of stats.
I'm hoping this is the year where, like, everybody's kind of off him.
Yeah.
And then next season, he's a late first round pick.
No doubt. You know? Okay. So far, I'm digging it.
You're in on all this.
Yep.
All right. So then you get to that 4-5 turn, which, like you said, you're looking for a Kyle Hendricks type. You're looking for, you know, a next tier pitcher, essentially, off the top. Still, like, probably top 10, like, right around 8, 9, 10 pitcher you were thinking, I was assuming. And what happened?
Well, I was hoping for Kyle Hendricks. Like, my worst-case scenario is, like, a guy who had very similar to the AL version, like a Masahiro Tanaka being there.
Yep.
Well, Tanaka was gone. Then Kyle Hendricks went. Kyle Hendricks and Tanaka, I missed out by, like, 3 or 4 picks. And at that point, I wasn't going to overreach. I said, you know what? Let's get a closure here. Let's get a top end. After the top three, a guy I have like in my top five, I went with Edwin Diaz. I think Edwin Diaz is, you know, he's electric. I think Seattle's very good. He's a guy I want the shares of. And I actually did get a lot of shares this weekend of Edwin Diaz. So I got him. So right before my pick, Billy Hamilton got sniped from me, who wasn't a guy that I was particularly, I do like him this year. But I liked him for this team and the fact that I went Cruz and Stanton. I thought his speed fit this nicely.
Nice fit.
And unfortunately, he went one pick before me. So what I did at pick 5, I took a guy that I think is going to score a lot of runs and steal 30 to 40 bases in Gene Segura. Wasn't a guy that I was specifically targeting, but a guy that I felt filled a role for this team. He plays 2 middle infield positions. So that's where I went with the 5 pick.
It's interesting. Now, so what I take away from that is you're looking for a Kyle Hendricks, you were looking for Masahiro Tanaka, you're looking for a second stud pitcher, really, to pair with Clayton Kershaw. And the one you wound up with was Edwin Diaz in the 4th round. And I find that really interesting because that means guys like Chapman and Kenley Jansen were gone, and this is the closer. And we've been kind of force-fed, not necessarily this spring, but force-fed that a lot of the closers, it is quantity over quality. You just want to get those saves and get out. And here you took this flamethrower from Seattle in the 4th round as your 2nd pitcher.
Yeah, in these type of leagues, there's no trading. So we can't trade. So you got to get the guys. I want a guy that pretty much has job security. If I'm going to pay
yeah,
up,
I feel you.
You know, I don't
want to really waste your fab.
Yeah,
you know, paying $300 for a guy to get two saves. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, that's a major headache. And this guy's going to strike a ton of people out. I mean, if you just watch him pitch, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun when he's on the mound. So what I wound up doing when I knew I wasn't, I almost pushed up Garrett Cole, but at that point, I said, go with the closer. Go with the guy I feel is a high-end closer. And the philosophy I had was, if it's possible, I might just go Dodger stack going forward, which I wound up doing.
Interesting. Interesting. Any questions thus far here, Corey, as he's through five rounds?
No. I'll be honest with you.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send something with him. Because North Carolina, because Gonzaga is a 6.5-point favorite over South Carolina. So there you
so
go.
You,
right
you give him a little.
I'm going to give him
give
something.
A little bit.
I'm going to give a little bit, and then hopefully you bring a lot back. But no, so far I like the strategy. I like what you did. And that was the auction on Friday night. So, you know, and we still got the two. You still do that two drafts.
Well, it's a Saturday. Yeah, it's a Saturday's main, though.
That's Saturday's main that we're talking about. Okay.
All right.
So wait a minute. Yeah. You got Stanton in all three? Because you got Stanton yesterday, right?
See, the thing was, Vaccaro loves Stanton, too.
Okay,
so
okay, cool.
We had
So what's with the Stanton love? I mean, because the thing is, right, he's got more power than anybody in baseball. He doesn't stay healthy. Some freak injuries, no doubt. The average was not good last year. Strikes out way too much for me. What's with the Stanton love here?
I'm buying the player that he should be.
Yeah.
I'm buying the light tower power. I want it. And as everybody says, oh, you can get power anywhere. Look, first off, if power is going to be abundant, which I do believe there's going to be a lot of power,
then get
that
the
means
most
you
got to
have
guy.
Even more power.
Yeah.
Because if everybody's got power, you got to beat those people. So that was my approach, especially when I took Kershaw on Saturday. My approach was, I don't have a first round hitter, so I got to make up that power. So that was, you know, it's like you say, if I started Trout, then I would have had a different philosophy, which happens on the next day. But I had a partner there too, so we were working together.
All right, so let's continue on a little bit, Matt, because I do want to continue and see what else wound up happening here in this draft. So take it away.
Well, when it came to the 6-7 turn,
yes, sir.
The starting pitchers were once again pretty. It was starting pitchers and closers that were going off the board. Vaccaro took Garrett Cole for me, who I was hoping would come back to me, and Jose Quintana would have picked before me, but I would have went with this guy probably. It would have been close if it was between him and Jose Quintana. But I kind of made up my mind that I was going Kenta Maeda. I'm going Dodger stack.
Going, my man, Kenta Maeda. That actually makes me very, very excited that you went in that direction. I got to ask because you haven't said his name. Your boy James Paxton.
He was, honestly, I almost pushed him up here because
that's what I'm thinking.
This was my thought process. Maybe I could get Paxton or Rich Hill on the next turn. So I'll take Maeda, and I needed another bat.
Go ahead.
No.
Because didn't you get sniped?
I got sniped by Vaccaro again. My teammate on Sunday was just like Pac-Man eating up my pitches coming around that bed. I was like a few pitches away, and I'm watching him pull out these names. I'm like, damn you.
Crazy. It's no love. It's no love.
No.
It's no love. No. Every league is a separate entity. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Where it's no love inside the league.
Yeah, no. You got to play to win. Chris likes these guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
The one thing we didn't want to happen was to be in the same league, and unfortunately
it happens,
we got
that
draw.
It always happens that way.
But I took Adrian Beltre at the 7th spot. I do love old man Beltre.
Same.
His stats, I mean, the way, if you look at his stats last year, it was pretty similar to 2013 when he was, you know, dominant. There is risk. He is going to be another year older, and he is an old man, but he's pretty much as solid as they come.
Okay, so I understand that one. Let's continue on here.
Okay, so then the next turn, I still wanted to go pitching, and Rich Hill was there for me, and Lance McCullers. So I took these two guys, continuing on with the Dodgers.
Literally having a Dodgers rotation.
Yes. And the other thing
God,
is,
I love it.
If Rich Hill or Lance McCullers, one of these two guys pops, I'm going to be looking pretty damn good.
You're going to be cooking, yeah.
You know, because I think my aid is pitching very well in the spring. I think he pitched very well last year. It was those last couple of starts.
He got tired.
That he really, that skewed his season at the end. I'll say that. And if you don't believe me, just go check his last two regular season starts.
He got tired. It happens, you know. Mm-hmm. Corey's tired.
Yeah, it was a big cultural shock for him, too.
It happens.
You got to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
So I'm buying your turn.
All right, continue. So there you go. You bought in. You got the high ups they got in McCullers. And he's a name that super interested in seeing because up and down, right? Like, he's someone everyone was so high on. Then, you know, had a couple of rough outings this spring. Now it's like kind of fell him back down to earth, which I'm okay with because I think you got fair value. But you bring up Lance McCullers. I want to just have a little sidebar here because a name that I brought up toward the beginning of March, he's now secretly fantasy relevant again. I don't know how secret it is, and I'll ask you about this guy in the draft because we'll go through a couple more rounds and we'll switch drafts for after the commercial. But Joe Musgrove, now in the rotation in Houston, because Colin McHugh is not ready, he's going to be in the rotation at least through April, and if he pitches as well as I think he could, he's not going to leave the rotation. He's got an opportunity this first month. Here, kid, take the ball. If you pitch well, it's yours. Where did Joe Musgrove go in this draft, if he got drafted at all?
No, Joe Musgrove definitely got drafted. I agree. Joe Musgrove is an interesting name. I like him better than, say, Mike Fiers
obviously,
in the long run. But yeah. Mike Fiers, you know, is a guy that, you know, might impede him at some point.
But if he pitches better than Mike Fiers, he's going to stay in the rotation, I think.
I agree with you. But you know how sometimes these coaches...
So where would you draft him? Like...
I'm trying to see where he went here.
Just pick him up and you can draft him. Just saying.
I didn't draft him.
Okay.
He wasn't a... I mean, he's a guy that I do like. I like him more... he went in the 18th round.
Okay. Oh, all right. So that's not late at all.
Yeah, no. There's people are on him.
People are in on him. Okay.
I do like the arm. I don't think it's a great upside, but okay. I think it's a nice arm.
Okay. He went in the 18th round around who?
He went around the names of Daniel Norris, Alex Cobb,
okay.
Zach Davies. Which are names? I mean, I do Alex Cobb. I'm a little worried about.
Yep.
So, but I do. I'm very high on Daniel Norris. Zach Davies is my National League guy. I like a lot. So it's a comparable, but I think I like those two arms better.
Okay. There you go. All right. You can continue now. I just need to find that out.
Okay. And then I pretty much. I had that one closer in Diaz. I was looking for my boy Cam Bedrosian. I didn't get him. So I was going to wait on a closer and just get like cheap closers. And Andrew Miller was just sitting there in round 12, at the end of round 12. And
yeah.
He's just
you
too damn good.
Passed on that.
He's just too... Even if he gets 10 saves, what he's going to offer me in strikeouts and ratios is a guy I want in, and I can get him another closer.
You're not worried about anything about... Like, he kind of struggled, like...
Well, I mean, Nelson Cruz took him deep. You know, that was the first couple
of
outings. I'm not going to be... I'm not really concerned. And wasn't like... I'd rather buy him than, like, I see people paying off for Tony Watson. I'm not a K-Rod guy. I know everybody says he's got the job security. He looks god-awful. And he's another year older. So I'd rather go with the skills guy. And like I said, he's going to get at least 7 to 10 saves. I'll get myself a closer later on or get one in Fab if need be.
All right, there you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll find out your favorite picks that you haven't told us yet from this draft, and we'll move on to your next draft and see how it differed when you're taking Mike Trout at the top rather than Clayton Kershaw. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've gone through almost Matt's entire top 10 here. Give or take it. So I want to jump around a little bit in this draft before we get to the next draft. And who are your favorite picks from rounds 11 through a billion?
Yeah, I'll just wrap it up real quick here. 14th round, I took John Gray. John Gray's a guy that I really like. I think it's 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. I think he's going to be the guy that conquers scores and when the season's when the season comes to an end. Other picks I did like is a guy like Victor Martinez in the 17th round. Everybody stays away from this guy. I think he hit like 27 homers last year. Always gives you a good batting average. Yes, there's injury risk, but the other day he's been picking up a first baseman's glove, too. He may even have to play some first base with Miggy hearing a pop last week. You don't know. Another pick I was very happy to get, and I jumped him earlier than maybe I should have that day. Maybe not, but that's Park from Minnesota.
Yeah,
he's
going
to be the, looks like the starting day DH.
Yep.
Kenyon Suarez is experiencing foot trouble, and I think Park beat him out anyway. And as I think you mentioned last week, he went to the WBC.
Yeah, that's the Park. The Park was a position battle that people were looking at, and he came out there and he won that job. So that's going to be interesting to see how he performs in it now.
Yeah, I think last year was all about the wrist injury. I mean, people were expecting big power, big things from him. But, I mean, if you had, like we say, something with the hand, with a batter, I really want a part of it. And that showed with him. And I'll give you just two other picks real quick late. Just to let you know, the 20th round, I did go with Alex Wood. Okay. Further stacking that Dodger rotation.
All right. Let me ask this now before we get to the next draft. Where did JT Martinez go?
JT Martinez, surprisingly, in this draft and in some other ones I saw, didn't get a discount. He went in the fifth round.
It's interesting because in my draft last night, another little harp on this, he went in the 10th round. He went in the 10th round.
The one yesterday, Matt, the NFBC yesterday, he went in the 12th round.
Yeah,
that's 10th and 12th. I mean, that's what you'd think would happen now.
Yeah,
that makes sense, but no discount for you.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't touching him, be honest with you. I don't care. He got some good news.
The auction, I think he was, $10, maybe?
Yeah, I saw him going that, like, you know, 10 to, like, 8 to 10.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I mean, some people are still going to take that gamble. I think that's insane. In the Mike DeMouth League.
Thank you, Matt.
you drafted him at the...
No, I know, exactly.
You drafted him.
He was healthy when
I was all in. I really liked J.D. But Liz Frank is...
Yeah, no doubt.
But in that Mike DeMouth league on Friday
he
night,
went regular price, right? And I think it was Mike DeMouth that took him, right?
Yeah, Mike made some interesting picks there.
Yeah, that's one of the things I heard that Mike DeMouth had like a very interesting team, to say the least.
I mean, I'm not taking a guy with a Liz Frank in the fifth round and on a $5,000 entry. So
that seems scary. Yeah,
Mike DeMouth. But just to wrap some information we don't know.
Wrap it up here.
Yeah, just to put a bow on this one.
Yep.
To tell people things I like in the 27th round, I took Twins reliever Ryan Pressly.
Okay.
I think he will threaten Kitzler. If he does struggle, which I kind of hope he does, and assume he will.
Struggles, Modica.
You know, so I mean, that guy, and 23rd round was Charlie Morton, another guy that throughout the weekend I was taking late.
All right, so there you go with those guys. Let me ask one more. Jason Kipnis, where did he go?
You know what? I just shut the draft window out. I think he went very late. I think it was like the 18th round or something like
that. Okay. So let's hit the other draft. Corey, I'll get back to you in a second, the one you were auctioning at. Let's get to your other draft, Matt. You took Mike Trout.
Yes, we came to the decision. I was partnering with Chris, so I told him, I said, let me know which one you prefer to start with. I'm going to take the other guy on Saturday. And we took Trout, as in Chris List was very happy because he's a Kershaw guy, thinks it's much easier to draft with Kershaw. And I honestly did really like drafting with Kershaw as my number one pick. So I'll back that point up.
So I've been thinking about that because, as you know, Wednesday, I say every day. And I've kind of mocked it out, and it just seems so much easier to just have that in your back pocket. Like, because at the 2-3 turn, you can do anything you want.
Yes.
And it just makes life a hell of a lot easier. Continue.
And especially you're in head-to-head, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's even more dominant, you know.
But, well, that's what we figured out. Like, he missed all his time last year, and he still finished as a top 10 player. It's incredible. Okay.
So at the 2-3 turn, we were thinking... Yu Darvish has moved up well into the second round, so he was out of our thoughts. So we were thinking Jacob DeGrom. We'll go DeGrom, and most likely we were going Stanton because Chris is a big Stanton guy too. So I was ready to take on some more Stanton. And two picks before, Jacob DeGrom got snaked from us.
Okay.
We were not happy.
You were in agony.
Yes. So the decision basically was between Justin Verlander and Johnny Cueto. I might have slightly preferred Cueto. Chris liked Verlander better. I said I'm fine with either two. I'm fine with either. I had them ranked pretty much 8-9. So we went Verlander.
I had a decision last night as well, and I also went Cueto. I went Cueto.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you're getting less strikeouts with Cueto,
no doubt,
which I'm fine with. But AT&T Park, Cueto does it every year too.
Cueto's a beast, especially with that park. I love it.
And once again, we took Giancarlo Stanton on that turn. So it was Verlander and Stanton.
Better hope that guy stays healthy.
I really do for you.
Speaking of,
he's not coming back.
I was talking about diversifying, but as you're going to hear in this draft, there wasn't much diversification.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was with pick four. Pitching didn't get pushed. It got pushed, but not as much. We went with our Carlos Martinez.
Yeah.
Which, he's having a hell of a spring. I had some concerns a couple of months ago, but
same.
Watching him this spring, he's kind of erased those for me.
He jumped. He went. He's in the fourth round of a 15-team league. His value is going up. His value went up.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's dominating the spring. Yeah. He looks
so. So oddly enough, last night I backed up Cueto with Carlos Martinez myself because I was hearing what you told me last week and seeing where he was going, Corey moving on up. I thought it was a nice pair. I mean, it's the same type of thing, right? To the striking finish guy gets out, you get Carlos Martinez. You should. That was the idea.
So at that point, we did Carlos Martinez, another familiar name you're going to hear from me, Edwin Diaz.
So this is now a common thing, taking the closer at the 4-5.
Well, yeah, in this format, this is where, like, Jansen and Chapman are going to go anywhere from mid-third to late 3-4 turn, early on fourth. So those guys are going to go. Britton's probably going to follow. But, I mean, Diaz is gone before Britton. Guys like are very popular too. So getting that top guy closer is something a lot of, because you're competing for an overall as well.
That's a good point.
So you can never have enough saves.
Right, okay.
So fast forward to the 6-7 turn, which is where we had our first little
tiff.
Not tiff, but little
disagreement.
Decision to make, disagreement kind of. But at pick number six, say hello to Mr. Kenta Maeda once again.
He's back! Now, so you won out on this fight.
No. This is the one where I ceded to Chris. And looking back on it now, I think it might be the right decision.
Okay.
Not a player I've really been invested in at all this.
Here we go.
Mr. Todd Frazier.
Really?
Yep, I was there for this.
Yeah. But, oh, by the way, fantasy exec did a hell of a job felicitating the main event.
Well, nice job, Corey.
Tip of the cap.
Tip of the cap, yeah. Now, what do you say, Felicit? What did he have to do? What was his job?
You just keep the draft moving, you know, the names.
Phone call, we had the defending champ, Rob Silver, on the phone.
Yeah, so I had to make sure he was good to go. Greg, don't act like this is simple work, Greg. This is what I do. Greg, don't do that, Greg. You know, Greg, come on, I got these kids. Come on now, Greg.
Hey, so now from your perspective here, Corey, because you were there, obviously, innocent bystander, they had this disagreement, as I call it, decision about Todd Frazier, and you're like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
How intense was that?
No, it wasn't really intense, but as you're watching, you know what I'm saying? So as you're watching, you're like, okay, well, I see that they're going over there making discussions, and, you know, I see the hand motions and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay.
Well, It was their passion.
Yeah, it was just either going to be a fight or some kind of agreement on this one right here. And then when they made the pick, I thought, like, you know, I'm sitting here with Matt every morning. You feel what I mean?
Right, and I never heard
you once mention or talk about or discuss, well, Todd Frazier.
It was pretty much between Alex Bregman and Todd Frazier.
Now, you have mentioned Bregman to us before.
And I know Chris likes Bregman, so I thought I mentioned Bregman, but looking back, Frazier's probably going to hit, you know, 10, 12 more homers and probably steal a couple more bases.
His average would be 75 points.
Yes, that was the thing that I was thinking. But, you know, hopefully the average bounces back a little bit. You know, And, you know, so, but looking at the team now where as it stands, I'm fine with it. Because, you know, we did change things up a little. Going forward, but in round 8, I was a happy man because I didn't get him Friday night in the auction. Chris stole him from me on Saturday in the main event.
So James Paxton's on your team.
James Paxton is on our team.
Now, I have to ask, you had this disagreement with Todd Frazier. And as you said, you kind of deferred to Vaccaro. Like, he made his plea, and you're like, all right, just do it, right? Like, that's obviously what happened. Now, knowing that, Matt, do you then be like at some point, all right, I let you get Frazier, I want this guy? Like, does that happen?
Not really. I mean, I'll say, look, maybe I'll say, well, I'll try and persuade the argument. But we have a good relationship in the fact that we kind of planned this out the other night. We were like Wednesday night. We spent 4.5 hours at Gunner Street Tavern.
Did you get the buffalo chicken dip?
I really only had the French onion soup that night. The prior time, like 2 weeks before when we met up for our seminar, conference, whatever you want to call it, I had the buffalo chicken dip.
Okay.
And my favorite burger in Manhattan, the brunch burger.
Interesting.
Oh, that brunch burger.
I did tell people this Saturday, like for the draft on Saturday, I'm not going unless the buffalo chicken dip will be served.
Yeah, that was
good. And I'm making that clear again, that if Saturday they don't have it, I'm going to be upset. Continue.
And, okay, so what we did, a guy that we really weren't kind of targeting. I mean, it's a guy I like. He likes, I guess everybody kind of likes him. We went with my first share of the weekend. I think it is two. Andrew Benintendi in round 9. I mean, he's going to be batting second, third. That lineup, that ball, you know, American League East. There's a lot to like. Hasn't proven it.
I actually took Benintendi in the 8th round last night for much of the reasons you're saying. I read a lot about him over the weekend, batting second as of now, could be even third, right, depending on Mookie Betts. So having him, I'm interested in seeing what he can do. You have drafted in the 9th, in the 15-teamer. I drafted him in the 8th of a 12-teamer because I was excited about it. A little bit of keeper scenario, so I thought it was kind of similar. I was interested with him, and the cool thing for me was that I was able to back him up, like, rounds later with Matt Kemp, which I was shocked about. Like in the 10th round, I was getting Matt Kemp. I was like, wait a minute. Like, that should have been reversed, probably. And I was happy to get both of them. So there you go.
Yeah, Matt Kemp, people seem to just like
hate.
Yeah, they just seem to totally hate him. He's going to probably drive in 100 runs again, hit 25
yeah,
homers.
Gonna be a big...
So I was like, all right, in the 10th round, absolutely.
Good job.
Thank you.
10th round is a guy that's pretty much on our teams, on my teams and Chris's. You know, in the combo that we all auctioned and draft with is Mr. Kevin Kiermaier.
You know
about Kevin Kiermaier, love.
Just so you know how much I listen to you, in round 12 I drafted Kevin Kiermaier only because of you. Because I looked at my team and like the power of Matt Kemp and I have Arenado and I had some good average like Robinson Cano. I was like, I don't have any steals. This guy's getting me 30. I drafted Kevin Kiermaier probably much earlier than I needed to, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be pissed if I don't get this guy. So I drafted him in the 12th round last night because of you, Matt Modica.
Well, I think it's gonna pay off you. I'm a little pissed off at Kevin Cash, why he's batting him second and Corey Dickerson first versus right-handers.
For the record, in the 27th round, I did draft Corey Dickerson.
No, I like Corey Dickerson late. Don't get me wrong. I think Corey Dickerson is going to... He's one of those guys later on in drafts or, you know, a couple of dollars in auctions that I think is going to turn a nice profit. But to move along, another guy that I wound up getting on both my main event teams that I really don't... I maybe had one share prior was Eric Thames of Milwaukee.
Yeah, he was on my queue at one point.
It's the fact that what he was able to do out there, the power, the speed combo, he doesn't have to live up to this Fangraphs impressive projection. But, I mean, I think he could hit 23 homers. Say he does something like that, steals like 12 bases, can bat 270 and above. He's going to have first base eligibility, outfield eligibility. So that's going to be a nice thing to have.
What about some of your other guys, like a Jared Eichhoff? Did he wind up on your teams? And he was your guy.
You know, Eichhoff went more expensive in the drafts. I didn't get him, and Eichhoff moved up this week.
Yeah, he sure did.
I did not. I was unable to obtain Jared Eichhoff. That was one of the.
Where did he go in this draft? Right in front of you.
Where did Eichhoff go?
Let's find out. This is why it was exciting.
Okay, right here, round 12.
Oh my goodness!
He went round 12.
He really moved up there.
He has Matt Shoemaker went in round 11. I did get Matt Shoemaker in my auction on Friday night. Did I get Shoemaker on Saturday? I'm pretty sure I did. But maybe I didn't. But these guys were people that we were getting much later. That everybody was like, yeah, these are great value guys. That now when it's time to go to live events. The values become you're paying retail.
Let's take a break here, gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to wrap up Matty Modica's draft weekend here. And then we'll move on to you, sir, Corey Parson, and talk about your festivities. So,
yep.
Take a break. Matty Mo, I'm back on the clock when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. By the way, no surprise that the Kansas lost because they never make the Final Four.
Yeah,
they
good are, for them, too.
Always. You know, I got one of those Pac-12 teams in there. I had three, wound up with one. We'll take it. All right, Mo, Matty Mo, the end of the weekend here.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up. Guys, that just to name some names that I like later on the second half of drafts, like a Brandon Crawford is just a secure guy who's going to play, a guy you can just put in your lineup. He's not going to be the greatest thing in the world. He's not going to hurt you. He's just solid. You put him there. You leave him alone. You know, and you move on to your other positions. Once again, we got Tyler Flowers. Tyler Flowers is a guy we like. I like. I think he hits 15 home runs.
Really? Do you like? Do you like Tyler Flowers over Austin Hedges?
Yes, if given the choice of the two.
All right, I'm gonna make a quick move here. Then
I think the power that he has and the power skills combination he has there, and let's see who else. Once again, I kind of pushed for this one. We went with Victor Martinez in the 17th again in this one. The one guy that Chris was upset that we did not get, I like him too, but Chris really wanted him, and he made the point going into the in the draft after we missed him. He said in the auction, if it's cool with you, one guy I definitely want to get, it's Mr. CJ Cron.
I like CJ Cron.
Yeah, we didn't get him in the draft, but we got him in the auction.
All right, there you go. What about, let me ask you about a couple of guys for me. Where did Brandon Drury go for you?
Brandon Drury was a guy Chris got in the auction for $3. That was a great buy, a buy we needed at the time. Brandon Drury went in the 15th round on Sunday.
I picked him in the 16th last night, and I felt like he was one of those guys that I on my list, and I had no idea where he was ranked for everybody else, but I just felt like with my team, how it was like, where it was stacking up, I went with him to make sure I didn't, you know.
Yeah, I really like him. I mean, he's got currently he has third base outfield eligibility. He's gonna
second base eligibility is coming.
Second base is coming. I mean, he hit 16 homers last year. Loved the park versus left-handers. He'll move up in the two spot in that lineup. So I think there's a lot to like with this guy. I think Friday night he might have went for like seven. Sunday's auction, a lot of big money was spent early, so we got a little bit of a discount.
Outside of Todd Frazier over this weekend, who did you draft that you're like, I didn't want this guy?
Before I go to that one, the buy of the weekend.
Oh, you mean want to be positive? Okay.
I want to go on a positive note first. Friday night, I bought Steven Strasburg for $20. Wasn't really targeting him, okay, but I said 20, and I was fine with that. Nobody said 21, so I was like, thank you. And then I got Garrett Cole for 18. So knowing these two guys' history, I needed a secure number three,
yep,
third pitcher, not number three, but a third pitcher.
Yeah, of course.
So we had the break. So I was outside smoking a cigarette. And I said, the one guy I need on this team is Kyle Hendricks, and I'm going to pretty much pay whatever the hell I have to.
Did you say this to anybody else or just yourself?
No, it was me talking outside.
I'm smoking to my cigarette. We need him.
We need him. You know, this team.
Give him a pop.
We got to rally around.
A pep talk.
So what happens? I walk in. First player called out is Kyle Hendricks.
And you're like, shit.
It was Kyle Hendricks for $8. So somebody must have said 9. I probably said 10. Somebody said 11. I said 13. Then I heard a 14. I went 15. Crickets.
Nice. Oh, my God. Nice.
I was like, oh. So I was really happy. Really happy about that. I mean, my rotation, I really liked from Friday night, but That was my favorite buy of the weekend. Buy that I did not like. Not that I didn't like it. I didn't want to spend the $12 on him. I almost had him for 10, which I thought was a little high too. But I paid $12 for Javi Baez. But of course, at that point, I needed somebody that could give me that 15-15 possibility, maybe even more. I'm a, as you know, I'm a huge fan. I think he should be out there playing second base every day, somehow, some way.
There you go. All right. So, what other picks in this draft, not necessarily your own, surprised you? Either any of your drafts from this weekend? Like, you know, let me change the question. What names were you, like, surprised about this weekend that went way too high and way too low, just in summation here?
Well, seeing the non-discount in some drafts on J.D. Martinez was mind-boggling.
Okay.
I'll say that. Greg Bird went for, like, $15 in an auction.
So he's skyrocketed.
Yeah, he's pretty much like a 10th-round pick. So the Greg Bird hype train is rolling fast.
There you go from Matty Mel. When we come back, let's hear about Corey Parsons' week and his drafts and what he did and all that good stuff. That's up next in hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Number two of the Roto Experts is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Corey Parsons, Greg Sussman with you one more hour. The OGs of Fantasy, old school fantasy, is next. Now, Corey Parsons.
Yo.
Let's get down to your weekend, my man.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Now, Friday night, I know you're here. We're hosting all day, all night.
Yeah, you know, the old mule.
When you got the old horse, you gotta ride it. You just gotta ride it home.
You gotta ride it.
Yeah. Gotta ride it home. That's what we did Friday night. I know Saturday you hosted like a lot of programming as well. I assume the studio was not a mess when you were here.
No. I keep a tight ship. I'm running a tight ship. I don't play that. I like to be comfortable.
How is hosting the BFFs with the BFF Scotty E?
Me and Scotty, we had a good job. You know, we did a good job. You know what I'm saying? We had some people stop in and help us out. Always good to, you know, get some of the buddies on. So Nando came in because Nando was in the AL only. So Nando came in, hung out with us, talked about his team. So that was fun. And then we had Al Melchior, who does FanRag Fantasy Baseball right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Got a chance to meet him and chat with him, you know. And he lives in Montana.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Montana's not like New York. You know what I mean?
There's no people like you, though.
They only have two elevators.
probably very limited exposure. Oh, in Montana. I'm trying to think. So then also, you know, I don't know if it's on demand or on Audio Boom or somewhere. We also did two segments myself, Scott and Adam. You know what I mean?
Old school style.
Old school style. You know what I mean? The original gang got the original band back together.
That was awesome.
Yeah, Craig Mish dropped by. You know what I'm saying?
Pretend to be me. You know, old school.
Who?
Mish.
No, he didn't. So Mitch dropped by for a little bit. The Roto lady, Andrea Lamont, came through. Tim McCullough.
That's awesome. What did Ronis think of our studio here?
Ronis was chilling. Ronis liked set up. Ronis was good to go. Hollered at Ronis again last night. We talked to him for a minute. You know what I mean? So Ronis is doing well. Glad to see Adam Ronis out. So I told him I came to take his crown, whatever.
And then he said, you have J.D. Martinez on your team.
And I said, yeah, you jinxed me, you MF. So, you know, all of that. So that was the beginning of the day Saturday. So then Jake Seeley came in there, and Jake Seeley did a whole bunch of radio. Then I was chilling, talking with Jeff Manns for a little bit, you know what I mean? And then I walked on over to the Hilton to get ready for the big Redemption Saturday. You know
Redemption
what I mean?
Saturday.
With the
now,
auction, with the
now,
big NFBC auction.
Corey, this big NFBC auction, remember, and we were talking about this on, I think it was Friday, maybe Thursday, that his money was just taken from him. It was stolen from him last year.
Yeah.
And he was very upset. And I was like, you know, it's not really anyone's fault. He's like, no, Greg, this is a big stand. I got kids that need braces. I'm like, all right, you're right.
This is true.
And I got to say, I was there in attendance. I was not participating.
Yes.
But it was really good entertainment value. I got to say, I enjoyed it. I'm looking at the table, and I see Brian, then I see Corey, then I see the man, Dave Taylor, And all, sitting next to the fantasy exec.
Right there.
And all I'm thinking about is the fantasy exec's kids.
Gonna pop him.
With crooked teeth because of this man. The man right, right next to him.
Right.
You know, so there you go.
He shouldn't
right
have
there.
His teeth crooked.
Yeah, so I, you know, I was like, how do I play this? Do I jack this guy up? But I was cool, you know what I'm saying? Shook his hand, whatever.
You know,
he still came across kind of, you know, I don't, you know, he's still like, you know, I don't like the way he was kind of going back and forth with the auctioneer a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, what's up with you? He's a professor at Niagara.
Oh, what is he a professor of?
Criminology.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Stay away from him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not tripping off of him. This year, he's going down. So this dude, I'm looking at his team, right, as he's putting his team together. Yeah. No, because did he do the same thing last year?
I forget
this
what he did.
This guy's buying all the damn catchers.
I forget what he did last year, but at every auction I saw him in, he did pretty much the exact same thing. It was buy Trey Turner and buy three top catchers.
I don't get that. I'm like, I know I'm not losing the catcher, man. You feel what I'm saying? Like, what the hell is this? So then we got in and we got rocking and rolling. You know what I'm saying? Me and Brian, we had discussed some strategy beforehand and stuff like that. I listened to Brian talk baseball a lot. I know the players he's in on. So I felt 100% comfortable that we were going to come out this thing, you know, ready to rock and roll, ready to dominate. And I'm very satisfied, very happy with the team that we put together.
Now, what I find interesting, I'm actually going back to Modica before we get into that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Sorry. You had three drafts over the weekend, an auction and two other drafts. You had first pick in them. And it was, I mean, you said by the end yesterday, you were just like exhausted. And you went to another draft to just sit and watch?
No, that was Saturday. That was Saturday night before we went to Foley's. And me and Chris, I mean, we were watching it. It was an interesting group, too. We had Tony Cicada was involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jerry Colvin was there. Mm-hmm.
Jerry Colvin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was...
Anything go down
Andy
there?
Andy Saxton.
Anything go down? No.
Nothing went down. It was okay. Everybody was cordial. You know, no punches were thrown. Nobody had to be separated.
Yeah, it was cordial, but there was a lot of money being spent early. Let's put it that.
One name I want to ask you about, and we'll get into Corey's draft, Matt. Just either your drafts or the weekend, I missed him. I was going over some of these injured players. David Price, where did he wind up going, Matt, for you?
He was pretty much going anywhere from like the sixth to like, I don't think he hit the double digits, so maybe like six to nine range.
But it just wasn't something you were going to get involved with.
I just don't want the headache, Chris.
Yeah,
even if he comes back,
seems not worth
and
it.
Then he gets shut down again, I don't know.
It just seems not worth it to me.
Yes.
All right, Corey Parson.
Yo.
Your draft, your auction.
Yeah.
Did you and Brian disagree at all?
We didn't disagree, you know what I'm saying? I trust Brian, obviously. He took us deep into this thing last year.
Now, I have to ask this as well. And I don't want to go on the limb here, but I think it's fair to say that the research that you have done and the amount of knowledge that you have accessed in regards to baseball this year far exceeds your knowledge in the past couple of years. Like,
yes.
you are engrossed in it this year.
I wouldn't say I'm engrossed, but I'm definitely
much more than you have been.
Yeah,
entrenched.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Engrossed,
I'm entrenched.
Fine. So you're entrenched in it this year. That's why I know last year you kind of let Brian do his thing and you were there and you helped out, but like now you have guys. You're like, I want this guy.
Nah, I'm still, but well, we discuss it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know, we discuss it, we go back and forth, he tells me, okay, so if I'm like, okay, I'm this guy, he will tell me, well, you know, I really don't like whatever the case may be, and then we make a decision just like that. So, yeah, it's a team effort.
At the break, after like 2 hours, you used to take like a little break, so Corey came over and we're talking, and Brian, and one of my favorite lines of the weekend was, because they had spent the majority of their money within the first 2 hours. And Corey said, we got to save some money for Didi.
did you save money for Didi?
No, we did not get Didi.
He ended up on Team Cicada.
So, Corey, yeah, as Matt kind of alluded to,
Didi.
You spent a lot of your money early. How come?
No, well, we wanted to go out there. We wanted to get some of the big stars right out there off the top. We wanted to get some of the big players, some of the top players, and, you know, we felt as if that was a way for us to kind of control the tempo and, you know, push the prices for everybody else and see how they play, and then we'll come back in later on and, you know, we'll try to hit it out on some of our cheaper player guys to put the roster together. So we came out flying with three offensive gems.
Do you tell?
Well, obviously, from my Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper.
How much?
$44.
Okay.
Which, you know, Bryce Harper was a beast. I have no problem with the $44 price. Paul Goldschmidt, who we love, you know what I mean? $38, first baseman.
It's interesting that Goldschmidt goes for cheaper than Bryce Harper. That was interesting to me.
Bryce Harper always prices higher up on draft day.
Bryce Harper?
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Goldschmidt is, you know, the numbers across the board are better than Bryce Harper's and projected to be better.
They were last year.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going to be this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think Bryce Harper wins the MVP of the National League.
Okay.
I'm all right.
We're going to actually talk about that this week. I want to do some win totals.
Yeah.
You're going to Vegas Thursday, so we have to talk win totals. This is one I really like. I might have to give you a couple dollars.
I'm going to be taking envelopes.
Yeah, I know.
So there's win totals. I have MVP odds in here. I have Cy Young odds in here. We'll get into all that a little bit later on the week as Matty goes to Vegas. So Corey, continue.
All right, so then,
you got Goldschmidt, you got Harper, you have one more stud, you said.
Stop there.
Yeah, and this is the one. Like I said, me and Brian, we talked a lot baseball and stuff like that. And then we got Mookie Betts for 41. And I was like, well, when did we like Mookie Betts?
Me and Corey are following. He's outside having a cigarette. And he's like, yeah, I was cool with that. I mean, he's like, me and Brian talk baseball every day. And all of a sudden,
he never once mentioned Mookie Betts.
He goes, I have 41.
So, all right, Mookie Betts is cool, but Mookie Betts is he was number two. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mookie Betts is awesome.
Number two. Yeah. He's a beast, so you know what I mean? So we got this great dynamic offensive start. So I'm all in, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of firepower, you know what I mean, offensively. So I'm like, I'm fine with it. I'm cool. I'm like, we are the favorites.
And then you guys got a couple of double aces.
You would have said the exact line no matter who you had.
Yeah, so we're the favorites. And then we went double ace, you know what I mean, with Bumgarner for 36 and Cueto for 28.
Jesus Christ, you have money left.
Huh?
How do you have any other players on your
we
team?
We got the team put together perfectly the way
they
it worked out.
They were able to squeeze in before the break a $12 Tim Anderson.
Yep.
That's interesting. So, yep. Okay, I got sniped on Tim Anderson last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that's interesting. Okay, so you spent a lot of money.
Yeah, I think they had $61 after the first two hours.
After the first two hours, you had $60.
Probably had $61 like after the first 30 minutes because they were buying fast.
Right, so you had about $60 left, give or take.
Flying off the rip.
2 hours in at the break. Then I'm sure you had to sit out for a little bit.
Then
right?
We had to sit, you know what I mean? We had to sit. We had to take our time.
Do you get bored now?
Get patience. Nah, well, you know, my mind wanders anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Probably needed that thing that was over there.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that over there? Like, why is Dave Taylor buying all the catches? Criminology. There goes Tony Zincata sitting in the corner. Oh, there goes Vaccaro. So, you know, my mind, I'm very, you know, my mind is always wondering, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that pizza's nasty.
Yeah, like, I gotta say, that pizza is nasty.
So, we get back in, we start picking off our guys, you know what I mean? So, you know, we got Felix Hernandez, right?
Yeah.
We got Michael Pineda. Michael Pineda.
Yeah.
Jonathan Scope.
I think he just wanted me to say, yep.
Yep. Jonathan Scope.
Okay.
We got
Jonathan,
Cole Calhoun. We got Brandon Drury for $8.
My guy.
Yeah, there you go right there. Yan Gomes, who a lot of people were talking about. Mm-hmm. Yan Gomes was like really talked up heavy this weekend. Anybody we talked to this weekend?
Like Yan Gomes?
Like everybody's like this Yan Gomes
supporter.
He's
considered like the undervalued asset.
Right? Yeah, uh-huh.
Is he like a more undervalued asset than like a Cameron Rupp at this point?
I mean, I like Cameron Rupp. The thing I'm worried about is if Philly decides to move on at some point and go with Alfaro in their rebuilding stage.
Okay.
So we got, what would I say, Brandon Drury, Yan Gomes, Zach Davies, you know what I mean?
Well, Zach Davies is a Modica guy.
Yeah, and took a gamble on Michael Walker, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, the bounce back. Cameron Rupp, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jorge Polanco, you know. So we started to put our guys together, took a shot with Trevor Bauer, you know what I mean? So obviously when we spend up heavy, we are going to have a little bit more $1, $2, $3 players, but I still think it came out good. So and we're going to compete to the very end. So there it is right there. So this is the 2017 version of it. This is Braces 2017.
I kind of that should be your team name, Braces
2017.
Yeah, I agree. That's crazy if you don't name it that.
Just have big smiles.
Yeah, I know, right?
just like Google an image of braces, like. But yeah, that team came out pretty nicely.
Top heavy, you know what I mean? But still able to mix
it
back.
But you guys did a very good job.
But the thing about it is when you're in it, the grind of it, waiting for the dollar guys and trying to sneak guys in here or there, and the room is a real tough room and stuff like that. But you know what? Brian is a beast that's been doing this for years, and I'm glad to be his wingman.
But the chances you took, they paid off. I mean, I like the chances that you took. A lot of the guys that you named, I have invested in. I know Matt's invested in as well. So I feel like the $1 to $3 guys, we liked them.
We're a community, you know what I mean? We're a fantasy community, so we all talk and get information and stuff from each other. Just being around the group, you know what I mean? It helps it. It helps enhance everybody's ability to win, except for Scott. He never wins.
We'll take a break here. We're going to come back. I got a whole lot of players. I want to ask these two gentlemen where they went, what they think of them, and where we should be drafting them. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive Corey Parson at CTM Baseball for Matty Mo. A lot of players that I have questions about where they went, what we think, and it's some of the questions, some of the players that I am super high on, and also some of the players that I'm wondering if I should be super high on. But before we get to that, let's talk to you at 844-843-6879-844-84-FANTSY. And Corey on the line now. It's your partner. It's your brother. It's Brian Ambos. Brian, what's up, my man?
What up, Brian?
My brother from another mother. Braces 2017.
Braces 2017.
What's the deal, Brian?
I was thinking more like dollar make you holler.
That's a good one too. But you're trying to win a lot more than a dollar. That's the problem.
Yeah, we got to get that baby the braces this year. Let's just hope my kids don't need them. So what's going on, guys? What a great weekend, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I did definitely a lot of fun at the Hilton, at Foley's, meeting up with some people. Rockin' Riley's was rocking all weekend long.
What do you think, Brian? So, did I give a good synopsis of how this whole thing came together, or do you need to break some more things down?
Well, listen, it all boils down to, let's see what the end game's about, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, the drafts are a league is in one in the first 5-6 picks. We all know that. So we made some risks. And, you know, last year we were at the top of the overall with no closes, and let's see where we could do it now. I think we fell back last year when we started trying to grab some seeds. So let's revert back to the way we did it last year and, you know, brace it 2017.
Yeah, there you go right there. So, the no-save thing, it seems like a lot of that's what I saw in the drafts. Like, you saw a lot of teams in the drafts, B, they were getting there. They were taking closers before they were taking starters. So, I don't know how much of a theory it is playing. Like, Matt, you always mention sometimes you draft teams to play for the overall. My thing has kind of always been win the league and see what happens with the overall. You feel what I'm saying?
No, I understand, but I mean, like certain things when you're putting them in, so much of the money is going towards the overall.
Okay.
I like to get myself one solid closer. Like in the league I had with you guys last year, I had Jeremy's Familiar, and like I had a guy on my bench who finally got an opportunity, but got hurt like the first day he got the opportunity. And like a Camber Drosian, who like a guy in waiting who you know at some point is going to get that job, like say a Nate Jones type guy for this season. Instead of buying two top-end guys, I'll buy one.
Yeah.
Or even a discounted guy like an Andrew Miller, who's only projected for 7 to 10 saves.
And as far as the rest, you know, I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you guys filled it up.
Listen. As long as Matt Harvey wasn't on the team, I was fine with it.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second with Matt Harvey, because yesterday he's throwing 97 miles an hour. He's throwing 95. Now, Matt, where did Matt Harvey go this weekend? Was that someone that you they're like, all right, maybe now he's throwing high 90s again. I should be in on this.
Well, that happened yesterday, that true. So it happened kind of late in the day as well. But to bring up Matt Harvey, when I first got to the Hilton on Friday, there was a auction that took place at 9 a.m. and the board was still up. And Matt Harvey was a $4 player. Matt Harvey went for $5 in my auction as well. I don't know what he went for yours.
What about for you guys?
I'm looking him up right now.
Because I got to throw a 97
again. You know what,
again.
Though? You know what?
$4.
Yeah. You know what, though? I mean, Steven Matz, they're saying it's not serious. And I love the talent, but this guy is constantly hurt. There's a word. I can't say it on the air. So, but he's lacking toughness, and you know.
Oh, I know what you're talking
kinda,
about.
I kind of actually now might even go Matt Harvey. I'll push Harvey over Matt because I'm just getting like fed up with this. Every time, look, pitchers are gonna have gonna experience pain, have arm problems. You know, sometimes you got to tough up through.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Want you to have your ribs though.
Yeah,
that's important.
It grows back.
Yeah, it does grow back.
Now,
what's up, B?
Now, Brian, was there the one pick that we've talked about before as you were listening to with Mookie Betts? Corey never heard his name before in your conversations. Where did that buy come from?
Off the cuff. Totally off the cuff. You know what? Look, last year, me and Corey were doing research. There was not even a thought of Trout. I was like, you know what? He goes for too much. Let's get some value. And when we pulled Goldschmidt last year for 38, because I had 42 aside for like a Rizzo, I was like, whoa, we got some savings here. And I popped up with Trout last year, and he looked at me like, what'd you just do? So I said, you know what? I'm sitting there, and I really wanted to try and go half a Trout this year. And then when Goldie fell to us for under 40, I was like, all right, let's rock with it. And then I was like, wait, Mookie Betts, 41, less than Betts? I mean, less than Hoffa? Trout's going to go big money? Let's just do it. And he looked at me and he goes, roll with it. And I was like, 41. I didn't think he was going to stop, but I was like, I'll take him at 41. I mean, look, I trust my back end game enough. I mean, I've done about 12 50-round draft chances. I know what's going to be down there at the bottom end. And the truth of the matter is this bad pickups in here, there's a couple of reserve rounds. And how many guys do you wind up cutting that you spend $7, $8 for regardless? So if you're going to go for the gusto, let's go for it with big numbers and let's fill in the gaps of what we got. I mean, any Valencia for a buck could be a score this year.
Yeah, I definitely like that Valencia pick. I do think you guys did a very nice job filling out that roster. I mean, you used that $61 wisely. You crunched it very nicely. And I think you did a hell of a job.
So now, and then basically what it all comes down to, you know what I mean, let's toss out the first pitch and see what happens. And that's what it's all about. It's a grind. That's the one thing I like about the baseball hobby, that it's such a grind. You feel what I'm saying? It's like day in, day out, Sunday night waivers, get back up, injuries, replace, you know what I'm saying? And you're taking this all that you get the call-ups and, you know, and all of that stuff. So the grind of it is definitely worthwhile. So you feel like a champion when you're done.
Yeah, I live and die with my season-long teams every day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm ready to rock. I need this baseball season to start already. I still have three drafts to go, but let's get going.
Three drafts to go, 6 days away. Brian, why do you still team with Corey? Why don't you just drop his ass on the curb?
Nah, man. Me and Corey go back now to the early days of the Roto Expert, and last year me and him bonded very well, and we're going to stick together, and we're going to do what needs to be done.
And most importantly, Braces 2017.
Exactly. That's the theme.
Braces 2017.
There you go. Brian, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a few moments. So thank you, and good luck.
Take care, Brian.
B, I'll holler at you.
Later.
All right, Matty Mo, let me ask you about some players. The guys that I have been asking you about last week, now we have real data, real up-to-date data, you too, Corey. The guy that I was so focused on at the end of last week, Odubel Herrera. Now, he really struggled. I looked into this more over the weekend. He really struggled massively against left-handed pitching last year, batting like 200 against them all year long. Where did he go?
He went in the, on yesterday's main, he was a seventh-round pick. So he went... What's that? The 11th pick in the 7th round.
So okay. In the auction, he was $17 in the auction.
Okay.
I mean, he's. I think he's going to produce similar numbers to last season. They gave him. He signed a nice little deal. He was a Rule 5 pick a year ago. I don't know, he got like 5 years, maybe something close to $30 million. You know, 25, 30 million, that range. He's going to play for the Phillies every day. He shined last year. I think he kind of repeats it. He's a player I like, but Philadelphia has him in that lineup every day. They just paid him, so, you know, job security is there.
We should go down and see the Phillies at the Citizens Bank one weekend.
Yeah, I do it like I've done it.
You can also see them at City Field very easily.
Yeah, I don't want to.
City Field's great.
It's an easy drive, though.
Of course.
I like it.
I've been on the field at Citizens Bank. True
really?
Story, yeah.
That's cool. I want to go down there and hang out with you guys, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to City Field.
It's good food.
Yeah. I like
what's
City
his name
Field.
Has great seats at Citizens Bank.
Who was that?
Andy Saxton.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, you got Saxton the club lot. Level thing. Yeah. You get like nice giant cheesesteaks and stuff.
That's what's up.
Should I?
I got something to run past y'all in the break too.
In the
break, we can't talk about it. No, yeah.
Does it involve us getting seats? That's City Field. Andy Saxton.
It involves some fun stuff.
Oh, I like that. Cool.
Somebody I was put on. I overheard something over the weekend
about us. Okay, Jose Ramirez is another one that I was very, very high on.
Oh, that's my guy. He's on my Tout Wars.
He's on your Tout Wars team as well. I know that. Where did he go over the weekend, Matt?
Jose was going in the eighth round as well. It was
so him and Odubel kind of close.
Yeah, no, he's a guy that if you pay attention to baseball, you have to like Jose Ramirez. He's got the dual eligibility, and with the Kipnis injury, sounds like he's going to be playing second base as well. So he's a guy, you know, he's got a little pop, and he can steal some bases.
Also $17 player in my draft.
So there, the two of them are very similar.
Correct.
If you had to choose one, which one would you choose? I know, Corey.
I'd probably go Jose Ramirez.
You know Jose Ramirez, Corey?
I think I would, too.
Okay. Because that's the decision I think I'm going to have this week. Because like those are two guys I really, really want. And if I have to choose one.
Oh, what happened to Odubel? Odubel was a fourth rounder the other day for you.
I did more research.
I did
more research. And now I kind of want, I think.
I mean, if you want to use the tiebreaker of the two, you're getting second base possibly. But he already has outfield and third base eligibility.
It's true. All right. Let's take a break here, gentlemen. I got a whole lot more players I want to ask you about. Including the guy you just mentioned, Steven Matz, given his injury. I'd also like to talk about some of these other big-time players that we've talked about a lot, and now we have actual numbers where they're going. So, what's the industry think of them? We'll find out next here are the Roto Experts in the Morning. You hear the song with a gun like what is this?
It's trap music.
There's guns. I don't want any guns. It's like it's Monday morning, man.
Greg, relax. Chamber.
I don't
nobody's gonna do nothing to you, Greg.
Promise?
I promise.
Right. We're back here at Roto Experts. Some news over the weekend. I talked about Matt Harvey a second ago, and Matt mentioned Steven Matz. Now, Steven Matz, elbow irritation, and Sandy Alderson's like, listen, this isn't the end of the world. His elbow's fine structurally. He's had a little irritation, blah, blah, blah. I'm fine. Is he fine?
I honestly think it's more of a mental thing with Steven Matz. He's been injured so many times, and he's been pretty much injured at like every level. So I forget if I read it or heard it, something with the Mets last year, how it seems like it really is a mental thing because I guess maybe he was told once before, maybe a couple of years back, that if he feels anything, let them know right away. But I think now it's getting to the point where if anything hurts him, he's just going to them. And you're going to have to pitch. You're going to have to pitch through a sore arm at times. Look, you know, get it checked out. You don't want the guy blowing his elbow out. But you have to fight on, and I think you got to toughen up a little.
Now, what does that do for him in drafts?
Well, after this news popped up in between the draft and the auction. And in the auction, I think Chris wanted to go more. I think Chris was willing to purchase him around this price, but I was kind of like, you know what, at this point, I don't want to deal with this guy. I mean, I've already drafted him in my preseason drafts, but this kind of not, you know, this kind of stuff, I don't want to be dealing with. You know, is he feeling good today? Next sure. week is it? So the bidding stopped at $5, which could be an excellent buy because this is a talented arm, but I just read. Maybe I was just so damn annoyed that it got in the way for me.
Sure.
But I tapped out at that. I was like, nah.
All right. So you're doing that. Corey, what about you, Steven Matz?
Yeah, I'm cool with Steven Matz. Obviously, you want to see more information and stuff like that. You know, they have a history of being unlucky. You know, I'm sorry, just telling the truth. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah,
they have a history. They have a history of being unlucky. But I think I'm still interested. I'm still intrigued. Like I said, I'm thinking about signing up for one more league. If I do,
yep,
I don't mind. I would keep an eye on information. But I do think he can be a fantasy asset in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. It's a talented player.
Yeah, he's talented guy.
I think, you know, we haven't even seen what he can do, but.
Should I do another league, or should I just save it? Or should I save it for DFS?
I'd do another league.
What would you think, Matt?
I think you should take on a 12-team RotoWire online challenge. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
Maybe the weekend you get. You know,
yeah,
get
like
down
probably
dirty.
Late Sunday, late Saturday, because I got about late Saturday night. Maybe I do that.
You know.
Okay.
It's my Saturday nights.
Sorry, those are your Saturday nights.
No, it's fine. I'm cool with it. No, I really am.
Okay, whatever.
When does John Gruden's quarterback camp show start? I like those shows.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. You don't watch those?
No.
You watch those, Madika?
I watch them sometimes. I have no idea when it's starting. Okay. I mean, he's just
I'm sorry. I'm the top of the mind guy sometimes, but I just like to see that.
He's a great little character.
Yeah, exactly.
That he's created. Yeah, he's created he really took on that whole Chucky-ism.
Yeah, I like it. I like those shows. I'm sorry.
Moving along.
Pretty much, we ran along. Speaking of irritation, Carlos Rodon left his start quite early with bicep tightness, and he said it's never felt so tight in his life. I think I read yesterday. He was in extreme pain. MRI checked out, but he's going for a second opinion today in LA. What did this do to his draft value?
Well, on Friday, I remember somebody came up to me on Saturday. They're like, "Oh yeah, last night I got calls with Don for like $8," and I was like,
"Cool."
No, not really. I mean, it's just they said everything checked out. I said, "This is like the second time in March that they've, you know."
He was going along really slowly.
I mean, I like the talent once again, but first of all, he's playing on the White Sox, so, you know, you got to discount wins. And it's twice in March. I really don't want a headache. And like you said, you never felt so tight. You know, what happens when things get really tight? They snap.
That's true. That's a good point. What about you? When you're in your auction, Corey, what about Carlos Rodon?
Carlos Rodon, I'm trying to find what his price was just now.
Well, just to make, he went for $8 on Friday night.
Yep. You know,
and then on yesterday, he went for $5.
So you, what about you in the draft here, round wise for you?
Where did he go?
Carlos Rodon, let me try and sing.
He went in the 14th round. I took John Gray in the 15th, and at this point, I'd rather have John Gray. I'd rather have John Gray. I had him ranked higher even before this.
He's a $6 buy this weekend, and he went to the same team that has John Gray. John Gray also went for $6.
How about this? In my draft last night, he went the 20th round.
Wow.
20th round.
That was a buying opportunity.
Yeah, see, like in a draft in the 20th round, that's a lot better. In an auction, when you even the $5, $6, that could be, you can get another guy. You know, like say you were saying you liked Brandon Drury a lot. That's a cost, and that's an acquisition price. Do you want Carlos Rodon?
Right.
Do you want? I mean, obviously, what does your team need at that point?
Of course.
Trying to make the point.
All right. Let me continue here. Some of the major news from over the weekend, as I said earlier in the show, Joe Musgrove is going to start the year in the rotation. Has to be super in on him. Colin McHugh's dead arm will keep him out. Ian Kennedy. Every time we talk about this guy, he's not letting up runs, and he's just striking a ton of guys out. Where do we feel comfortable with IPK?
I mean, he's pretty much now a mid-round guy, like the 15. This is a 15-teamer, so he in a 12-teamer, I think he becomes a hell of a lot more attractive.
Okay.
In a 12-teamer, he was somebody that was a late guy that I would, you know.
Would you rather have Carlos Rodon or Ian Kennedy?
Currently, I'd rather have the guy that doesn't have the tight elbow that's probably going to throw 200 innings and strike out probably 200.
So, in all honesty, I say the same thing. I took Ian Kennedy last night over Carlos Rodon. The 17th round, I think he's my fifth or sixth starter or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have 200 innings and strike a ton of guys out. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and the fact that he's still in Kansas City, as I'll reiterate, that helps him. That park does suppress home runs, and he does have a home run issue, as you can see on his home road splits.
Man, I got a question.
Sure.
This is from a listener.
Okay.
They could have called, but they didn't. They
said like a tweet. You know,
yeah, they said, "Can you please ask Matt about Chris Herman, catcher from Arizona?"
See, he's a guy that is an intriguing late round option, but I think the guy they brought in, who's the catcher that they brought in, who's at the Marlins? They brought in a guy specifically for the framing purposes. Not Chris Iannetta.
Hold on, I'll tell you in a minute. Go ahead.
Another old school guy. So he's probably going to be the main guy. I have heard Herman might get some play in the outfield too. So he's a guy late if you need, like, in a two-catcher league you want to take a gamble on. I'm pretty fine, but he does have some intriguing qualities about him. I'm just worried about, is he going to play enough to warrant being in that position?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question.
It's probably a fair question with every catcher, but he is in a good offense environment and stuff like that, so I think it's going to be intriguing to see how that plays out. But he's a player that I've had interest in. You're talking about Jeff Mathis.
Yes, Jeff Mathis. Mathis was brought in for that specific part, and I think that's a smart move, bringing in a guy like Mathis. And like a Wellington Castillo, just was a horrible framer for them. Let's just be honest.
Right.
You know, and Arizona had major issues with the pitching staff last year. So you want a guy who can handle a staff, is a very good framer and all that. So you're going to sacrifice maybe some offense for the defense, in my opinion. And I think that's what they need to do right now.
Yeah, that makes sense for me too. So you're in on Ian Kennedy, another guy that is also striking people out, not really allowing any runs or walks or anything like that, is Francisco Liriano. Those two guys going in similar spots, Kennedy and Liriano. I talked to Jake, because we were talking about Liriano last Friday morning. We were like, oh, yeah, Liriano. And he goes, I don't understand this Liriano love. Like, I don't get it. Like,
really?
Yeah, Jake is very out on Francisco Liriano.
Actually, I've been on Liriano. I like Liriano better than Kennedy, if I had to choose between the two. Liriano's been a good pitcher the last few years, okay? You want to say he did it in PNC and all that? Okay, but he was pretty crappy last year, the first half. The thing that's very likable is he's reunited with Russell Martin. You go back, you look at him with Russell Martin in Pittsburgh, who kind of really helped him out. He was pretty damn good. He was, you know, pitching to like a 3.30 ERA, striking out a bunch of guys. He's back with Russell Martin. Look what he did in that, whatever it was, last 2 months of the season last year in Toronto. That was pretty damn impressive. He was a guy, a couple months ago, I was getting in the drafting holes, the draft champions, and it was the 25th round. Nobody wanted Francisco Liriano. He had like a 330 ADP. He was off everybody's radar. And now he's a 16th round pick. That's a pretty nice.
He's definitely one of the ADP rosters of the spring.
No question about it. Would you rather have Liriano or Ian Kennedy?
Liriano for me.
It's Liriano for you. I chose Kennedy last night.
It's all good though.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, look. If you want to, if you favor that park, I get it.
That's exactly
what
I do. Yep.
But I think
It's close. It's not a crazy thing. Hey, by the way, just so you know, Corey, just to let you know that I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. We're in this together forever. Look who my 18th round pick was, lady, right there. I pointed to it with my mouse.
There you go.
I'm doing it. Forget that, because we're his agents.
There you go.
Jenmar Gomez. Locked in there.
37 saves.
37 saves. I don't care. He was coming on my team no matter what.
I think you guys might have sold him to Scott Engle. Scott Engle got him in the reserve
Scott
round.
Scott Engle hates Jenmar Gomez.
Scott always draft players he hates.
Oh, he got him in the reserve round. Nobody paid a buck for him. Nobody paid one. He didn't even go for a dollar in there.
How many saves, Corey?
37
saves. I mean, a nice spring. I mean, everybody hates this guy. It's unbelievable.
They act like it's going to happen. They say any day now.
Well, you know.
He's going to have that month. If he, I'm getting more to the point where Philadelphia doesn't want to really start Nearest's clock with arbitration and giving him saves. So I think this first month is going to be very telling for Jenmar Gomez. Can he do it? I'm going to bet against him. But I think Benoit might be the guy that gets the first crack just to save some money.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm confident.
Joaquin Benoit.
I'm confident in our guy.
Greg, I'm in love with him.
I know you are.
I'm about to buy his jersey.
That would be awesome.
That really would be. We got to go on Philly's website.
See if they sell them?
Probably, yeah, and see if they got the Jenmar Gomez products.
Hey,
Fit Shop Phillies. My computer's probably gonna blow up.
Like,
me typing this in, and my computer's gonna be like, "What the hell is going on, Shop Phillies?"
Modica, Miguel Cabrera back in the lineup over the weekend. Are we no longer concerned? Are we out of the woods?
I'm at the point where I'm not concerned. Defending NFBC main event champion Rob Silver took him at the 15 turn yesterday. You know, so. He did get a nice discount, though, prior to that. He, on Saturday, was sliding down to, like, mid to late second. So that's a hell of a buy. If you got Cabrera late second, you're like...
Absolutely. Score. And now Corey Seager, he's playing every day, but it's minor league games just in case something doesn't go right. I know they're just saying, oh, we're trying to get him more bats, controlled environment. Just in case something doesn't go right, they can backdate this as far as they need.
Yes, and even if he was on a 10-day DL, I don't think it's really anything to worry. I think all signs point to him being healthy, being ready. He was the guy, surprisingly enough, on Friday night's auction, it was the first mixed league auction I think I've ever done where I never bought a $30 play, which is very uncharacteristic.
Wow.
I'm usually balance aggressive.
Balanced attack.
Corey Seager was my highest priced guy at $28.
Oh, there you go. How about that?
Oh, this Mike Schmidt is nice. Mike Schmidt would like the powder blue.
What,
yeah.
What about the Jenmar Gomez?
I don't see Jenmar yet. He might be on the clearance rack.
Out of stock. Backorder.
Just keep looking. Let's see. T-shirt jersey maybe? In that?
I guess when they got to make you. Oh, there goes Aaron Nola. Look at this.
I don't want Aaron Nola.
I feel you. That one is nice, though.
Oh, here we go. Like, I got him.
You see the player shirt? Let me see. Wait, what website? Oh, there goes your boy Franco, Mikel Franco. Dad, this is for you, every Father's Day. This is old Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, this is a youth one. I got a, there, this is one for you.
This is Jenmar Gomez right there. How about number 46?
Number 46, Jenmar Gomez, our guy.
Greg's guy.
Our guy. You want to be in on him, Modica? You want us to get your shirt too?
Yeah, what the hell, why not?
You got to draft him, though.
I don't know about that.
Hey, listen, calm down.
You know what? I'll take him in a reserve round. After round 23, if he's there, I'll
hey,
take him.
Hey, man, you better come back from Vegas with Jenmar Gomez on
your team. You better.
What if I came back from Vegas? What if I walked in Monday morning with a Jenmar Gomez authentic jersey?
Oh, that would be sweet right there.
We'll put it in the studio. We'll frame it up.
Because we got plans for Jenmar Gomez. Come back from Vegas and you talk about you got Hector Neris, I'm going to be like, what the hell is going on? You betrayed us.
Joaquin Benoit.
Team Jenmar.
For life, brother. Final break of the program. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up. Old School Fantasy is next. Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up next. Final few minutes here of the program on the Roto Experts here in the morning. Now, do you want to get the NFL note here? An NFL note and a baseball note that I haven't mentioned, so I'll do the baseball one first. Matt, Gregory Polanco was scratched over the weekend with left shoulder soreness. Is this a concern?
I don't think so right now. You know, I think maybe they're just being... I don't know the full details. I did see that, and I'm like, this is a guy I really like. Haven't been able to get him this weekend, but I'm going to be doing the due diligence, the research, and so I got a couple of big drafts. I got one tonight and tomorrow. So this will be... I'll know by tonight how I feel. I'll let you know in the morning.
We'll see if Gregory Polanco gets back in action in here. I actually... I don't want to say froze, but there's a lot of guys last night. I was in the fourth round of this draft, and there was like no one I really wanted. Like, like Justin Verlander was there, but I had just picked up Cueto, and it was a sign between Cueto and Verlander, and Verlander was still there on the comeback. I was like, all right, like I guess I can draft Verlander, but like I really need an outfielder, and I didn't know who to draft. And there's a bunch of guys there, and I wound up drafting Gregory Polanco, and I took him over Jose Bautista, who has the signing in between, because I think Polanco did a little bit of everything for me. And then I looked into it a little bit more, and there was an injury that concerned me, and I don't know.
It could be like Miguel Cabrera the other day. You thought he hurt something.
But
pop.
He also had a shoulder injury last year. I remember they kept him out for a little while.
You are right. I mean, I'm trying to I'm trying to be optimistic because I really want to take Gregory Polanco.
Bro, that's why I was in, because I really wanted him last night.
So the problem too is, this is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we hear a little something like right before, like this, like last week or this week, and we get off of guys we really like.
Yeah.
And then we regret. That's my point. It's not like he's got Liz Frank, you know. Corey can do that.
Yeah, exactly. Liz Frank's a different deal.
I
called that Liz Frank soon as I heard it was a midfoot thing. Liz Frank.
Yeah, I know.
Darn it.
Also, last night when I took Benintendi in the eighth, I basically just missed the whole closer run. Like, I saw it coming too. I was like, I need a closer. And I'm going to grab a closer. I was like, but I really like Benintendi. Like, that'll be fun. And then literally after me, Cody Allen, Ken Giles, Alex Colomé, David Robertson, AJ Ramos, Francisco Rodriguez all went right in a row. Literally just like that.
So, who'd you get?
I didn't want to tell you guys.
Well, you had to get Genmar. Yeah. Right?
I told you I got Genmar. Yeah.
Who else?
Genmar, yeah. Oh boy, everybody that he hates. So I was basically
just tell me Tony Watts is not on this team.
So I was staring at Tony Watson or Sam Dyson, and I drafted Tony Watson, and then I drafted Cody Glover also. So I have Cody Glover.
Cody Glover's got some upside if he is that close.
I got Cody Glover, Tony Watson, and Genmar. Gomez. All right,
that's fine.
And then, three amigos.
I think you're going to like my pitching staff, Matt. I'll just read it to you quickly just to get your thoughts. Garrett Cole, Johnny Cueto, Carlos Martinez, Jared Eichhoff, Matt Shoemaker, Ian Kennedy, Jarrell Cotton, Daniel Norris, Andrew Triggs, and Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, I mean,
those are guys that are up your alley.
I think you got a solid foundation, you got a nice middle, and you're taking some upside. And what I do like, before you go to the upside, it's guys like Ian Kennedy, who I don't foresee him being, you know, keeping up this spring, but as we talk about, he's going to give you close 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. And he's not, for the most part, going to hurt you with the ERA.
I got that Triggs guy too.
Yeah, I know you do. Why not? He was at the end of the draft. Like,
I think he have some value.
I think he's definitely worth the
look. So he'll be the first guy to go. There's one guy I've been looking at. I wanted Brett Anderson. I took Triggs instead. I don't know if I want. I could always drop. Anderson didn't get drafted last night. I think he should as a Cubs fifth starter.
Just for the fact that he's, I think it should be Mike Montgomery.
I know you do.
Just for the fact that he is the Cubs fifth starter, I think I have to place him over Andrew Triggs, because Triggs isn't going to get the wins. I mean, a lot of things that I like with Triggs. And the other thing that I was on, like a Sean Manaea a lot, but I've kind of pulled away. Not that I don't like the pitchers. I really like Sean Manaea.
Their
defense is just so horrific. And it's going to be like really, really bad. I mean, Chris Davis you got to put him in the outfield. He's like a statue out there. You got the Marcus Simeons, and you got some bricks in the infield, put it that way.
All right, one football note before we wrap up here, Corey, I go to you. Theo Riddick this offseason had surgery, not just one wrist, both of his wrists.
Yeah, he struggled.
Double wrist surgery. Is he going to write?
This is going to be tough. He'll figure it out. He struggled with wrists. Yeah, for real. He struggled with a wrist injury throughout the most of the season. Ended up getting him just about shut down for the most part. We know what he is. Pass catching running back. We like a lot. Amir Abdullah, though, could be back in the mix, so that could really hurt his value. Skill set kind of the same. But injuries is always going to be a thing with Theo Riddick. But, yeah, surgery to get some things tightened up on both his wrists. But all be low end, all be two-ish. But I like Abdullah, so I probably won't have very many looks at Theo Riddick.
Yeah, this like This kind of concerns me. Like, double wrist surgery. That sounds bad. I mean, like, I know he's a major part of that offense. I know you said you're in on Abdullah.
We talk about double wrist surgery, and right, somebody asks me a question.
He won't be having relations with himself.
I saw that coming. I knew that was way too easy.
You got to get an angle to pull it for him.
Well, guess what? The old school fantasy with plenty of lowbrow entertainment coming your way over
the
next
hour. That's what the audience
hour.
Like, Greg. Yes, they do. Trust me.
What else can we expect, Greg?
They was asking about you this weekend. They was like, asking everybody, a couple people asked me where Greg Sussman was.
Really?
Yeah.
Who asked about me?
Ronis asked about you.
Right. You could have called. You don't know who called me.
Mish asked about you.
Why did you call me? Like, yo, Sussman, where are you?
You was playing spike ball.
I was.
Yeah. You wasn't going to leave spike ball.
No. I lost all four games, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Good workout, though?
Yeah, I feel great.
Okay,
feel
wonderful. Great.
But I ate like crap this weekend, though. That's the issue. Okay, I eat healthy tonight. What's up next on Old School?
Coming up on Old School, we'll look at this weekend's auction and compare it to Tout Wars. So we'll look at an industry draft, we'll look at an experts draft, and more or less look at some different prices in these two auctions.
From Matt Modica, Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. We'll see you right back here at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Road to Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.